What matters is not what Rick Warren thinks God is like. And what matters is not what you think God is like. What matters is what God says he is like. And he's very clear about it in his word. What matters is truth. Truth matters, not just what I think up. If you base your life on how I like to think of God, you're living in a fantasy world, not reality.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book by Pastor Rick that's both spiritually uplifting and visually stunning. It's called The Purpose of Christmas, and it reveals the true biblical meaning of the season. You can find out more about how to secure a copy for yourself or for a friend just in time for Christmas by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Developing Trust.
There was a book that came out recently, and it's called How Do You Spell God? And it was written by a Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and the foreword was written by the Dalai Lama. Now, you can't get more politically correct than that, folks. Okay? And in this book, how do you spell God? And by the way, HBO later took the book and made a special about it. Some of you may have seen that. They said, how do you spell God? And their conclusion was, you can spell God any way you like. Well, isn't that sweet? Okay? In other words, if I want to think of God as a fish, that's great. If I want to call him Charlie Tuna, great. If you want to say, well, I think God is some bodacious babe, fantastic. And that we all just create our own little God, because God can be interpreted in many, many, many different ways. Now, folks, this is one of the most popular ideas in our society today, that God is anything you want him to be. That all of the expressions are equally valid and equally true. And that you can believe whatever you want about what God is like, and it's okay, and it's right, and it's true. Now that sounds very politically correct, but we have a real problem with it. Somebody forgot to tell God. Because God says, no way, Jose. He said, this is the way I am, and I don't want anybody misrepresenting me. Because if you don't know the truth, you can't trust me. And if you can't trust God, you can't have a relationship with him. And so in the second of the Ten Commandments, in God's top ten, the second one says, don't misrepresent me. Don't make phony images of me. He says, don't make idols that aren't really me. And he is very clear that when we imagine him, when we think about him, he wants us to think about him in truth. He wants us to worship the truth, not some phony image that somebody has created. Now, I need to warn you of what's called syncretism. It's a very prevailing philosophy in the world today. What is syncretism? Syncretism is the idea of combine a bunch of ideas from many different philosophies and ways of life, put them all together, and that will become your philosophy. That becomes your religion. Get an idea here, an idea there, and here an idea, and throw in a few of yourself, make them up, and that's what God's like. And we have this all the time in our society. People think that it's very cool to do this. Now, what happens when you take, for instance, a little bit of Christianity, you take a little bit of what the Bible says, you take a little bit of, say, Eastern thought, Buddhism and Taoism and Shintoism. You throw in a little science fiction. You throw in a little bit of more high technology. And what do you get when you mix all that together? What you get is Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate. That's what these guys believed. They took a little bit from the Bible and a little bit from Eastern thought and a little bit of science fiction and threw in some of their own kooky ideas and mixed it all together and came up with a cult. Now, people do this all the time today because they think, well, it's just as legitimate in any other way. The so-called New Age has nothing new about it at all. There is not one single new idea in the New Age thinking. All it is a combination of very old, old lies that have been around for centuries, named by other things, paganism and naturalism and pantheism and all these different things. And you just take them and reformulate them together, throw them all in, and go out on a limb, and you got New Age. God says, don't do that.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Christmas, where is the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs, and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
There is not one single new idea in the New Age thinking. All it is a combination of very old, old lies that have been around for centuries, named by other things, paganism and naturalism and pantheism and all these different things. And you just take them and reformulate them together, throw them all in, and go out on a limb, and you got New Age. And God says, don't do that. He says, just a combination of old lies. Now, when I get into that kind of stuff, it inevitably leads to disappointment and domination and eventually destruction of my own life. I lose my own identity because I stop becoming what God made me to be. So then, the second question is, why don't I trust God more? Why do I end up trusting all these other things instead of trusting God? And the answer, you might write this down, is because I really don't know God. I really don't know God. You see, you don't trust somebody you don't know. And neither do I. Let's say a stranger comes up to you on the street and says, you know what? You'll live 50 years longer if you'll put your shirt on backwards. And you go, hey, who are you to tell me how to live? I mean, who set you up as the big authority? I know what's best for my life. You don't know what's best for my life. And you're just a stranger. And you're not going to give that any validity at all. The same is true with God. If you don't know God, and you don't know what he's really like, or you've got some of these phony ideas about him that you've picked up who knows where, you're not going to trust him. And when God says things like, you know what? I thought up sex, and it is to be reserved only for marriage. And if you don't really know God, you're going to go, well, who are you to tell me what I'm to do with my sexuality? Who set you up with this judge? You're not going to trust him. And when God says, I want you to tell the truth, even on your taxes, and you're going, well, why in the world should I do that? I don't know who you are. On what basis should I trust you? When you don't know God, you tend to question all the things that he knows, all the things he says to do. On the other hand, if you really know God and you really know how much he matters to you and how much you matter to him, and if you really know what he's got in store for your life, and if you really understand that he has your best interest at heart, you don't have trouble at all following what he says. It doesn't make sense to me, but I know you always do the right thing when you follow God, because he created the owner's manual and he made me, so I figure he knows more about life than I do. He's just trying to help me avoid some pain. It all comes down to, do you know him? Now, that's why God says in the Bible, he says, I want you to make sure that you really know the real me, not some phony image or some idol. And that's a problem today, because today most people spend more time in front of the television than they do reading God's word. So we get most of our ideas about God from what I call talk show theology. And there are a lot of popular myths out there that just aren't true. For instance, here's some common concepts of God. One of them is, God is the cosmic cop. He's the great big bad policeman in the sky, judge and jury, and his whole goal in life is to watch my life and catch me doing something wrong, and then he gets to punish me. Some of you were raised in a religious system that ingrained that into your life. That God is somebody who's all he's basically doing is looking to hurt you because you blew it. Now, who wants to serve a God like that? Nobody. Who wants to love a God like that? Of course, nobody does. Now, at the opposite extreme of the cosmic cop is the guy I call the God, the celestial Santa Claus. And the celestial Santa Claus never says you do anything wrong. This guy is kind of like the feeble grandfather who sits in his rocking chair in the sky, and he doesn't have any teeth left, and so he kind of mumbles, and he's half senile, and he benignly smiles at you and pats you on the head, and no matter what you do, it could be the most despicable thing. He's going, that's okay, go right ahead. Boys will be boys. And he couldn't make you stop doing something if he wanted to, because he's basically impotent. He's an old man who has no power, and he's just kind of senile. And no matter what you do, God goes, that's just fine. Now, what kind of God is that? Now, don't misunderstand me. God loves you no matter what you do. But God does not approve of everything you do. And God wants you to change some of the things you do. If I have a child who I know is doing something that is self-destructive, yes, I love them, and that's why I want them to change. I know what's going to do to them. Then there's the, what I call the George Burns image of God. You know, the oh God, God. Where God is basically just another human being who walks around in tennis shoes, and he's got a few more powers than we do, but he's kind of a bumbler. He's got the same faults, failures. He doesn't know all the answers either. He's just kind of like us, and that's really whittling God down. When you think God is George Burns, you've really taken a reduction. And then another really popular image or idol of God today is, God is the force. You know, God, may the force be with you. Now, let me give you some advice as a friend. Enjoy Star Wars, the movie, but don't get your theology from it, okay? I mean, it's a great flick. I've seen it at least 50 times. It's a terrific, but it's just a movie. It's just fiction. And it's filled with pantheism. And a lot of people buy into that. It's real popular today that God is this energy force. Ooh, you know, and this energy force flows around us and in us, and there's a good part and there's a bad part, and one we might call God and then the devil, but it's this evil and good side, and God flows through everybody and everything is in God, and God is in everything, and everything is God. In fact, God's in me, so I'm God. Ooh, now I like that. Okay? And that's exactly what Shirley MacLaine and a bunch of other people teach. You're God. Well, if you're God, let me see you part the Red Sea. OK, Okay, let me see you raise yourself from the dead 3 days from now. You're not God and you know it. You're just kidding yourself. Now, let me explain something to you. God is not in everything. I mean, you hear this all the time. Everything's in God and God's everything. That is a bunch of baloney. God is not in everything. God created everything. No doubt about that. God created everything. But God is not in everything, and everything is not God. That is called pantheism. It's about 5,000 years old. And the most ignorant groups of people bought into it. Now, what happens when you buy all that stuff together and you put it all together? Well, you get, like I say, heaven's gate. And you get a lot of confusion and you get a lot of problems. Now, these images that I've just talked about, they're not systems where you go, well, I really want to trust and love that. Who wants to love the force? That doesn't draw any love out of you. But even if you don't accept those, you might have your own. So let me ask you, how do you imagine God? When I say God, what do you think of? What do you conceive of? How do you imagine God? And you say, well, I like to think of God like, and then you tell me, you like to think of God like? I don't want to be disrespectful, but who cares what you think? I mean, you're just guessing. Just because I like to think of God doesn't mean that's the way he is. You're just guessing. In fact, what you're more likely doing is creating an idol of convenience who justifies what you do. And that's not the truth. What matters is not what Rick Warren thinks God is like. And what matters is not what you think God is like. What matters is what God says he is like. And he's very clear about it in his word. What matters is truth. Truth matters, not just what I think up. If you base your life on how I like to think of God, you're living in a fantasy world, not reality. And I suggest you check out of that and check back into reality. You got to know what God says. That's why God says, if you don't know me in the true way, you're worshiping an idol. And he says, if you don't know the truth about me, you can't trust me. And if you can't trust me, we can't have a relationship. Now, here's the alternative to trusting God. Worry, conflict, and feel like you have to control it all. And that is a very stressful, miserable way to live. And God says, I got a better idea. Trust me. Trust me. Now, why in the world should I do that? Why should I trust God completely with every area of my life? Four reasons. You write these down. This is what God says about himself. It's not what some talk show host thought up. It's what God says in his word. Why should I trust God completely with my life? Number one, because he always tells the truth. Always. In fact, you could even say, not only say tells, he is the truth. He is the truth. God is truth incarnate. Truth is defined by God. He is the essence of truth. The nature of God are those that are things that are right. The things that are not right are those things that are anti-God, anti his nature. They're the opposite. Look at this first verse. The Bible says, we can completely count on him, for it is impossible for God to lie. Would you circle the word impossible? People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, is there anything God can't do? Yes, there are things God can't do. Let me tell you what God can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Why? Because God cannot not be himself. God cannot deny his own nature. God cannot contradict himself because he is the essence of truth. There is no way that God could be untruthful. Is there anything God can't do? Yes, there's something God can't do. He cannot lie because he is absolute truth. That means we can count on him. That means we can turn to him. Jesus said, I am the truth. And in a world where we no longer value truth, who do you turn to? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3, God will continue to be true even when every person is false. And so if God says to do this, do something in this book, I'm going to follow it. Why? Because it's the truth. It may not be popular. It may not be easy. I may not even understand it. It may seem like nonsense. But I think God can understand what goes on in life a whole lot better than my little pea brain.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. But first, with Christmas around the corner, we'd like to let you know about Rick's life-changing book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick uses surprisingly simple yet forgotten biblical principles to remind us of the true meaning and significance of the season. He'll show you how to identify and confront the things that drain peace from your life, and how to overcome discouragement by surrendering to God's will, even when things don't go exactly as planned. Let us send you a copy of the beautifully written and illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up love and peace in your heart this Christmas season like never before. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's ministry. That's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples. That's evangelism. Baptize them into the family of God. That's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. Now, because of your generous support, did you know that we're now broadcasting on over 125 stations in the United States, and we're broadcasting all around the world now on stations in Africa and in Korea and in Ireland and many, many other places. In fact, over 525,000 people listen to Daily Hope just on the website on a monthly basis. That's rickwarren.org. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener funded. And so I'm going to ask you today to consider becoming a regular partner. Your prayers are opening the doors, but your gifts open the doors too to spreading the good news. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared. Thanks for listening today. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.